Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, September 19th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, I'm currently waiting for iOS 13.
We probably ought to talk a little bit about iOS 13. We may do that later in the show. Unbelievably patiently waiting for iOS 13 because she has a new phone to put it on. I have with me today Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello.
Charlotte's still hyperventilating a little bit. She's got a new iPhone. And we will definitely be talking about that later in the show. But first, Charlotte, I want to talk to you a little bit about a case that's happening in your neck of the woods, so to speak. And that is Apple and the EU and taxes are all mixed up. And you're going to tell us about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, slightly less pretty and exciting than my phone, but a pretty big deal. The EU wants, I mean, it's over $14 billion. It says that Apple owes Ireland in unpaid taxes. The complication here is that Ireland doesn't want the money. Ireland is very happy with the arrangement that it has with Google. And so Apple and Ireland are in court against the EU Commission, which is the executive body of the EU, saying that actually they came to a perfectly reasonable legal agreement, and that the reason the commission is chasing this money is basically because it doesn't understand Apple's business. It all kind of relates to two subsidiary firms that are based in Ireland, in Cork, and that there's a tax arrangement between the Irish government and Apple. The EU commission is basically saying this is not fair. It's but Apple and Ireland are both really happy with the arrangement, not least because by attracting Apple to Ireland, it has created a lot of jobs.
Mm-hmm. And Ireland has had some outpost of Apple for many, many years, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it's been there for quite a long time.
That's my understanding. But, I mean, Daniel Baer is Apple's lawyer, and he said basically that the commission is arguing that, and I'm quoting now, essentially all of Apple's profits from all of its sales outside the Americas must be attributed to two branches in Ireland. And therefore, they would be taxed on that. And from my answer, Apple is saying, no, that is not the case. Actually, this goes back to, if you guys remember, in 2013, Tim Cook appeared, I think, in front of the Senate and said that there were some decisions made in Ireland. However, Apple is now saying those are not strategic decisions. It's quite complex and it's a little bit messy. But interestingly, Ireland is saying, no, please don't give us $14 billion.
And that's the part that I think is sort of interesting, is that this isn't your standard, like, we think a company owes us more money than it's paid or anything like that. It's the EU standing up for Ireland, who's saying, no, we're good. Everything's fine.
Yes.
Yeah, so we worked it out.
Ireland is, of course, a member state of the EU, the Republic of Ireland.
Yes.
And the two company businesses involved in this are called Apple Sales International and Apple Operations Europe. And they came to a tax... Ireland granted them a tax, a tax ruling. And the EU Commission says that the result of this was that in 2014, those businesses paid just 0.005% rate of tax.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is the Commission's argument, and they're saying, the Commission actually turned down the opportunity to visit the site in court. They said that wouldn't make a difference. It's a little bit messy. At the moment, it's being held in the EU's General Court, which is its second highest court, that can go one higher to the European Court of Justice. So this is not going on any way for a while, I would say.
Yeah. Now, I did want to look up how long has Apple been in Ireland, and there's a statement from Apple from 2017 titled "The Facts About Apple's Tax Payments," which is suddenly super relevant to what we're talking about. But they have a picture of Steve Jobs at an Apple facility in Cork, and it's dated October 1980. So,
wow.
Yeah, so when I say many, many years, like, I don't remember a time, I was going to say I don't remember a time when Apple wasn't also in Ireland, and that's basically true.
So, sure.
Yeah, so they've been there a really long time, and they and it's been a huge piece of their business for all that.
Yeah,
for all that
but
time.
Of course, this tax deal that is the bone of contention is much more recent, and yes. It also comes. I think the important thing to note, actually, as we kind of move on from this, is that this is a wider issue within the EU that the Competition Commissioner, Ms. Vestager, is going after big tech firms and a number of other firms about competition and unpaid tax. So this is not just Apple that's in the firing line, as it were.
Sure. Okay. Good to know. So thank you, Charlotte, for breaking that down. And I will say, you will probably hear more about this in the future, because this isn't a one and done sort of thing. Like, they've laid out their case. And it's going to continue for some time.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And just to be clear how Apple is taking it, the CFO of Apple turned up to the court. So, like, Apple understands this is a big deal.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, Luca Mestri was one of the six strong delegation there. So Apple is taking it seriously. It is a big deal, but it isn't going away anytime soon.
Right. So as... No, more news breaks from that case, or we find out more information of note, we will be sure to let you know about it here. Thank you, Charlotte, for bringing that to us and explaining it in a way that makes a lot of sense.
Thanks. Yeah, no, it's interesting.
Right now, I would like to talk to you about our sponsor. And our sponsor today is OmniFocus from the Omni Group. And this is a to-do manager that helps you accomplish more every day. OmniFocus is an app that is available on macOS as a universal iOS app, and it includes an Apple Watch complication so that you can view, add, and complete tasks right there on your arm. And you don't always even need the app. There is also OmniFocus for web, which is new this year and allows you to log in and manage all of those tasks anywhere you have a screen. And if you are a GTD person, this is a perfect trusted system. If you want to be a GTD person, you should get a good trusted system, and OmniFocus is great for that. You can set things up to be reminded based on location, based on time, and be able to manage all of the things that you have to work on all at once. You can upgrade to the pro version so that you can view those tasks in custom built forecasts, so you can see what's coming up. You even get AppleScript functionality with that, and lots more. So go download your free 2-week trial at OmniFocus.com today. And we would like to thank OmniFocus for sponsoring the show. Now, our other topic today is a few things. First, I want to point out the Apple TV. We had a couple of emails about this, so I want to make sure everybody knows. The Apple TV and the Apple Watch are not eligible for the year of free TV Plus service. I had a couple of people write in and talk to me about it. Somebody got an Apple Watch and was really excited about it, and it turns out does not get the year free. So, apologies. If that was the one thing that you... If that's the one thing you got this fall was the Apple Watch, that does not come with the free year. So... FYI.
That's very interesting.
Yes, I thought so too, especially
So buying a TV doesn't get you a free year of TV?
I'm double checking my email right now because somebody else said that it was
that feels weird.
Yeah, I know that the watch does not.
No, I can kind of see.
Yeah, seeing... No, I thought that the other one said Apple TV. It does not. That's my mistake. The watch does not come with a free year of Apple TV. And I know a couple of people wrote in about, I got a watch, but I didn't get a free year. So TV Plus does not come with the watch. So if that's what you got, I apologize. However, Charlotte, you did get a new phone.
Yes.
And very briefly, tell us what you've got, because there's a reason that you have it today instead of tomorrow when a lot of people are getting theirs.
Yeah, so I went for a 10R. For various reasons we can get into or not get into. But yes, I have a 10R. I had a bit of trouble getting it delivered, which is too painful to actually recount.
Yes.
But I do now have a very nice new blue 10R. And I'm pretty happy with it. You know, I've only been playing with it a few hours, but I'm very happy with it. Taking some photos, the camera, as we know, is great. I immediately updated to 12.4.1.
Yes.
iOS 12.4.1, which obviously brought everything up to date, got it ready for Apple TV, got it ready for a bunch of other stuff. The interesting thing was I had been using a Galaxy S8 before, and actually the process of transferring over has at the moment been far less painful than I feared it might.
Yeah.
So in terms of contacts, the minute I added my Google account to my iPhone, I immediately had all my contacts, same with WhatsApp. So that was great. The minute I use 1Password, obviously, so that was very easy to achieve.
Yes.
To get, you know, and it works really nicely with Face ID. It works really nicely with that. So I'm very happy with how that's going. So that's all good. The only thing is, obviously, because I'm moving from the Google Play Store to the App Store, I'm literally having to go through and download every app. If you move from one Android phone to the other, you can literally click install and everything that was on your old device just reinstalls.
Yeah.
Once that's not a real hardship. I do wish, and I think Andrew's going to agree with me on this, I do wish Proton Mail worked with Mac, with mail on your iPhone. As far as I can tell, you have to download a separate app.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which
is a shame.
But to me, it's not the worst thing. I actually currently use two different mail apps. I have one for my personal mail and one for my work mail. And I sort of like the different mindset of, like, when I open this app, this is what I'm doing. And when I open the other one, this is what I'm doing.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
For me, that works. Your mileage may vary.
It slightly varies because I use Proton Mail for work that's not Mac Observer.
Yeah.
But mail obviously comes through as whatever. We have Gmail, and so it goes straight into the Mac Mail. Anyway, so that's all fine. My pictures were all backed up automatically to Dropbox from my old phone. The only thing I don't seem to be able to get yet, but I suspect there is a way of doing so, is WhatsApp backups so that I get photos that I've been sent via WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Although I do need to check again in my Dropbox that those haven't automatically been updated. But basically, so far, it's been pretty painless. I am pretty happy with the size of the device, I have to say. It's a really nice size. I'm pleased I didn't go for a kind of XS Pro or 11 Pro Max, something like that. Sorry, XS Max, isn't it? Because, I mean, I can see that's too big. I think that would be too big for me. I can see why some people would want it, but it's too big for me. There is a couple of things I'll say that I'm slightly missing
from
my old phone. I am missing having, Touch ID. But I think I'll get used to that. And I'm missing Swift Key keyboard.
Well, we can help you.
Can I get them on iOS then? No.
Well, we can help you with at least one of those for sure. But this is sort of good news and bad news. iOS 13 comes out today. And so I know that Andrew and I were set to make some recommendations to you about stuff that you should install on your phone. And the recommendation I'm going to make right now is one that you shouldn't. And that's iOS 13. Because iOS 13 that comes out today is 13.0. And we're expecting that 13.1 will come out at the end of the month. So in a week and a half.
Makes sense.
You will have a much more solid version of iOS. So I would suggest waiting so you only have to do like one upgrade in 2 weeks instead of having to do a whole nother one in a couple of weeks. So it's going to come out the same day as iPadOS. So for people out there listening, This is the kind of thing that, because I've seen a few of these, I've made my own, but I've also seen a few other people post kind of on, like on Facebook and things, for the people who call them for tech support, that it's much better if you just ignore that notification for a couple of weeks and then install 13.1 instead of 13.0 and it'll be fine.
So, yeah, what do you think about that, Andrew? Were you going to be, you're going to be installing it today, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to be installing 13.0. I've been running the betas all summer. I've had a few small bugs here and there, but nothing major.
Yeah, so for some people, it's been flawless all summer. Yeah. So
yeah, it just depends on your personal opinion, I guess.
Yeah. But one of the things, Charlotte, that comes with 13 is a swipe keyboard.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it will come as part of the OS, as opposed to having to separately install the swipe keyboard, or I know there's at least a couple where you can swipe across the keyboard and it will type for you.
That makes me happy.
Yeah, there's at least a couple of options, but the one that's baked into the OS comes as part of 13. So when you do install that, whether it's today or not, you will get that functionality. So at least you've got that going for you. But for apps, Andrew, what would be a couple of things that you would suggest aside from Proton Mail?
I mean, you should definitely check out the Reminders app and also the Photos app. Those have been both redesigned. I think the new Reminders is nice just because you can add subtasks to a reminder, mm-hmm. which personally I love organization, and it makes that a whole lot easier.
Yes.
So let me see. I did write about a cool stuff found this morning, an app I like. It's called Touch Retouch. Okay. It lets you use a healing tool to remove objects from a picture.
Oh, that's always
and
handy.
The big news is that it they made it universal. So the full app is now available on the iPad.
Nice.
And it's only $2, so I definitely recommend it for photographers.
Wow, even better. Cool. Yeah. Excellent. So you mean removing things entirely, like there's a power line across the middle of my photo or whatever, and I just want to take that out, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about games? Before Apple Arcade comes.
Yes.
What games am I playing?
Well, the reason that's funny to me is I was going to say there's not, like, as much as I use my phone, the first things that come to mind to recommend to you are sort of the fun things that I use on my phone. So, I like an app called Wordscapes. And part of what I like about Wordscapes is that, you sort of get this circle with 5 or 6 letters in it, and you draw a line between them to make words. And it's got like sort of a crossword puzzle at the top that you have to fill in all the words for. That one's really fun, and I like it because it's come and go. Like, you don't have to finish the whole round before you move on. So that one I sort of like for that reason. Like, I can play for a little while waiting in line, or, you know, while I'm passenging somewhere. So I like that one a lot.
I like that.
I'm also massively still playing Wizards Unite, because that's a game that makes me very happy. To go with that, I also play Pokemon Go pretty heavily. Not near as heavily as Wizards Unite, but I do play both of those a lot because they're, you know, go outside, explore kinds of things. Mm-hmm. For useful stuff, it's very silly, but I enjoy very much Carrot Weather.
Sorry, what?
It's called Carrot Weather, and no, it's a weather app that's in the Carrot suite of apps, and I enjoy the Carrot suite of apps. So,
as in carrot, as in like the vegetable?
Yes.
Amazing.
That app in particular is spectacular. For games, I also, the other one I play a whole lot is Disney Tsum Tsum. It's the cutest game ever. and it's based on the little stuffed toys, the little round stuffed toys, and they're very, very adorable, and so I like looking at that one a lot. Yeah, so that, like, as far as games go, those are the things that I play with the most on my phone. other stuff I have is stuff that's not necessarily very exciting. Like I have I have Gas Buddy to track gas prices for when I'm getting gas and things. Square Cash for people who don't have Apple Pay Cash. I use Zombies Run for working out, and I have 10% happier for meditating. Some things like that. So those are the ones I use.
Nice. Andrew, games? Hit me.
Andrew's your man for games.
I'm not a huge mobile gamer. I do really like Civilization VI. That's the fun strategy game to play. I really like it, especially because they really seem to pay attention to the app. Like most companies, they release their app, at least gaming companies, but the features are more limited. But with this game, you get the same expansions as you would for the PC game, for example. So that's really nice. Mm. I don't remember how much it is. I think it's $20, but it goes on sale a lot.
Yeah.
Let's see. If you do try Apple Arcade, I am playing this game called Spaceland. It's really fun. It's a nice little like turn-by-turn RPG where you get to shoot aliens. So that's nice. Been pretty entertaining.
Anything involving aliens is always pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how do we feel? I mean, I'm playing around with some of the... We've obviously discussed OmniFocus on the show. What other good productivity apps?
I use straight up reminders constantly because I have an Apple Watch to go with my phone, so I can pick up my arm and say, remind me in an hour.
The default app that comes on the phone?
Yes, just reminders.
Nice.
Yeah. So I use that a lot because I can say... I can tell my arm, you know, remind me in an hour to do this thing, or remind me in half an hour or whatever, and it just pops up later when I need it. So I will occasionally use reminders for that. How about you, Andrew?
Yes. So there's a helpful app that I use not often, but it's great if you're a writer like Charlotte is. Mm-hmm. So it's called Clean Text. I think it's also a couple dollars. It lets you copy and paste large amounts of text in it and then clean it up. Like, you can clean the formatting, remove or add paragraph breaks. There's a whole lot of stuff. I'm going to open it and see.
Here we go. Yeah, it's 99p here in the UK. Clean text. Okay.
Yeah, remove spaces, returns empty lines,
nice.
Trim them, replace things. Add quotation marks, different kinds of quotation marks, change the case. You can even convert it to like HTML to plain text, URL encoding, and even ROT 13, which is pretty interesting.
Dang. Yeah, that's serious.
So, it's a really useful tool.
As text management apps go, I have to put in a shout out for Drafts because I adore Drafts. I use it for like everything. If it's not an actual text message, then that text goes in Drafts. Like any other text I write on my phone generally starts in Drafts, because from Drafts you can send it out to wherever it is it needs to go. So when I have a great idea and I want to make sure I don't lose it, I use Drafts for that. I do pay for the subscription. I have the watch complication, so I can tap the thing on my arm, record my idea, and move on, which is super great because I'm one of those people who says, oh yeah, I'll totally remember it later, and I never remember it later. So,
question.
Yes.
I have Drafts on my Mac.
Uh-huh.
Love it.
Yes.
Is it one subscription fits all? Do I have to take out another subscription?
That I don't know. I want to say the answer to that is no, but I could be wrong. I want to say a subscription is subscription and that's it. So
I'm going to find out.
Excellent. Because I do. I love Drafts. No, so yeah.
It's a great app.
Yes.
The other thing, I'm interested to hear your two take on this. The other thing I don't like so much about iOS as I do compared to Android is in Android, you could have a kind of your home, not a home page, but kind of a set of featured apps and then load of other apps that you didn't use so regularly kind of behind them. You don't have that in iOS as far as I can tell. You can just make lots of different folders to neaten things up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
Which which is useful, but yeah. I have to, I do quite like that in Android, but perhaps that's just a thing you get, you know, a thing getting used to.
Well, like, I like it because you can have blank spaces between your apps and stuff. You can have like a couple of apps in the middle of a page on Android, and you can't really do that on iOS. So,
And you know, because there's things like the clock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on a home page that could go kind of in the background somewhere. Yeah. So things like that, but largely I think I'm going to, me and this iPhone are going to have a very long, happy relationship.
What I can tell you is that most people have, there are some you can delete, but if there's ones that you need occasionally, like the clock app where you can set an alarm and things like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to delete it.
There's a folder. Most people have a folder on the very last page of their apps. I think Adam Christensen calls it Siberia. Like, literally, that's the name of the folder, and it's on his last page of his phone. I've seen it. And that's where, like, before you could delete them, stuff like the stock widget and the weather widget that he doesn't use, and, you know, those sorts of things all go. Like, I have one, I call it system, but that's where all that stuff ends up. Like, you know, once in a blue moon, do I need voice memos or the stock calendar app because I use other things and, you know, stuff like that. So, there's always one of those.
My final question for you to both, Spotify or Apple Music?
I mean, I use Apple Music just because I'm already, you know, in the Apple ecosystem. It's nice for me because, don't tell Apple this, but even though I'm not a student anymore, I still have access to my college email. So I get the student discount for that.
That's so ending after this show.
Yeah. We're going to set a timer for how long Andrew gets to continue to use that discount. Do not get a discount, but I do very commonly get Apple gift cards as gift giving opportunities. So I sort of consider my Apple Music subscription free, like because I got, you know, because I cash in gift cards to get it, and I've been very much enjoying Apple Music. I only got it this year, so I've had it now for 8.5 months. And I really dig it, and I like getting to play most of it on the stuff where I am most of the time. Like, I have my phone hooked up in the car, so I can play music there, so it just plays music. I like being able to just sort of pull up a radio station, which is also super handy. Like, suppose I have people over, we're working in the yard, I can turn on, you know, 80s pop radio, and, like, everybody's happy. And I find that their playlists are really well curated, so I dig that.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try out the month free. And the other thing I'm excited about is I do have CarPlay, so I'll be looking forward to trying that out as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'll definitely want it for that.
Mm. Makes sense.
Because it'll be super convenient, because you can also just say play, you know, whatever radio or whoever essentials playlist, you know. Yeah.
Which we're on Android, and with Android Auto you can do. You can say play Metallica on Spotify and it does it.
Yeah.
Whereas obviously you can't do that with CarPlay. Because Spotify and Apple are still not friends.
No, they're frenemies at best, I think.
Mm. Anyway, I'm very excited about this, and I'm going to be doing some kind of videos and articles about the kind of shifting from one to the other. So any tips, drop us a line here at the Mac of Level, because I'd definitely like to hear them. I'm at Charlotte A. Henry on Twitter if you want to tweet me some tips.
Yeah. And if you want to send them to us, you can send them to observations@macobserver.com. You can send them to TMO Daily on Twitter. And my favorite, so that everyone else who heard the show can see them, is to leave comments in the show notes. That way everyone can see them and can, you know, add on to your comments as well. And that's going to be super great. So I want to thank both of you for being here today. Charlotte, thanks for coming by.
Thank you very much. And thanks for the tips. I'm going to have a fun evening playing with my new phone.
And we will let you get to that. Andrew, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.